Wonderful. Good to hear what God is doing through Changes at Heal. And as our brother mentioned, if you haven't been through that, it is a wonderful life-transforming process. And you can sign up for that. Men, I hope you heard, we are meeting on Saturday. Amen. How many of you got your tickets? All right. How many of you, your wife bought you your tickets? Don't put up your hands. All right. We'll pray for you at the end of the service. Tomorrow, Monday, is the last day to sign up with lunch. All right, and you want to make sure you sign up with lunch. You can sign up the rest of the week, but then we won't have time to make sure that you get lunch. So please, please sign up today, tomorrow. Go online, go on to the mobile app. If you need help, go by the Brave conference table, and they'll help you figure out how to do that. All right, we're going to have an awesome, awesome time. And the testimony that we heard, as far as what we learned from Bishop Sakala last time, the half has never yet been told of what we learned. Men, amen? So come this year, we're going to have an awesome, awesome time. So, good to be back at Miracle Life Family Church. Pastor Haley and I were gone. Our son got married last year in August, but it was a small baby little COVID wedding with 10 people. So we expanded it, and we had a second marriage ceremony. He was already married, but we had a second marriage ceremony where family and friends could come. And so this picture is all of my family, all of Pastor Haley's family with the new couple, two of my brothers, all of Haley's siblings. You can see Jessica was one of the bridesmaids. Ten people each on the bridal party. And then Tim and Pastor Haley opened up the dance floor. Yeah, so it was a wonderful, awesome time. So, happy mama, happy everybody. We had a wonderful time. And American tradition, the night before, we host a dinner. So obviously it was a Zambian-themed dinner with baobab trees and chitenge, and we had a big old time. So that was fun. All right, so sorry you couldn't be there, but you were represented very, very well. So we've been following the services while we were gone as we are coming back together physically as a church, and we're refocusing. Not anything, in a sense, brand new, but refocusing. In the last couple weeks, Pastor Benjamin, Pastor Kandwani have been talking about, from God's Word, refocusing on our call to be of service, and that God wired us with gifts and callings, and that God wired us to make a difference for other people. And the first place that happens is in our local church. And so congratulations to I believe over 300 of you signed up to say, I want to serve at Miracle Life. It's not too late to do that. Wonderful, wonderful response. If you are watching online, you can serve at Miracle Life. If you are a member, you can serve here. And God has called you to do that. And we will help you go through a process so that you can serve well and be on the right team. You know, there are certain teams at Miracle Life that I probably really wouldn't, my gifts would not be useful there. But there are places where all of us can and should serve. And so we're going to continue to refocus this Sunday. And we're going to look at refocusing on in the area of community. Community, that is being together. Relationships with one another in the body of Christ. And, you know, the church is not just a social club, but it is a place where we interact. And when we've been meeting online, sometimes we really miss an important aspect of that. And I don't know about you, but since we've come back physically, you know, I enjoy our building. I enjoy, you know, you could say live praise and worship, those kinds of things. But to me, the greatest thing is to see you, is to be with people, is to greet little kids, and to be able to have physical expression with one another. And all of that is God's will, all right? So the church, by definition, is a group of people. Sometimes when we think of church, we think of maybe an event. Sometimes we think of a building. This is the church. Let's go to church. Let's say prayers at church. But the Bible word for church is a group of believers, a group of believers who have assembled together in a place. And so there's the church universal. And so while we are meeting as a church, there are people all over Lusaka, all over Zambia, all over the world who are assembling. So there's the church universal, but there is a local assembly. All right, an assembly that belongs to God, the Assemblies of God. That's a great name for a church. I think it's already taken, but it's a great name for a church because that's what it is. It's an assembly of God. So we get together. So that is who we are, and we serve together, we live together, we pray together, we know one another. And let me just say right off hand, at Miracle Life, the place where that happens in its fullest expression is at a connection group. It's at a connection group. And what we see in the Bible is that there were times where church would come together. Yes, there would be preaching. There would be praying. There would be the gifts of the Spirit. But then there would be times where the church would come together and they would assemble in a home. And they would break bread together. They would be with one another. They knew each other. And at Miracle Life, that cannot happen on a Sunday morning fully or well. Somebody that was a friend with my wife and I, and they visited Zambia. They were here for a season. They went to another church. And they said, you know, we tried Miracle Life, but we came there on a Sunday, and it wasn't very friendly. And we thought, well, that's a bummer. We try to be friendly on a Sunday morning. But today, I would have asked them a different question. I would have said, oh, if you don't think Miracle Life is very friendly, what connection group did you go to for 3 consecutive months that was unfriendly? Because that's where real friendliness gets to higher heights. Now, again, please be friendly at church. Be friendly in the parking lot. Be friendly to the parking lot workers and to the people who are teaching your kids. But it happens in homes. And so part of today is if you're not in a connection group, get in a connection group. Get in a connection group. And we are not yet in a home together, but we're having marvelous, wonderful times, whether that is on a Zoom meeting or in a WhatsApp group. Our board, the board at Miracle Life, we started a prayer meeting during the time of COVID, and we pray together on Zoom. And they're really good prayer meetings. Amen? Board members, they really are. They're wonderful prayer meetings. Now, is that the best way to do it? No, but we still can do it that way. All right, so God designed us. We are a church. We meet together. So God also designed us. When he created us to be relational. He created us to interact with people. And so we're created in his image. And so before we were on the scene, there was God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, eternally existent in Trinity. God is relational by nature. By his very nature, he is relational. And he created us to be that very same way. Now, all of us have had relationships where we have experienced pain. All of us. And some in this room have experienced pain to degrees that I will never understand. And never, and I pray, God, I'll never experience the level that you have. But what happens sometimes is we experience pain in a relationship, and so we give up on all relationships. All right? Show me someone who's afraid of a dog, and I'll typically show you why there's someone who has a reason to be afraid of a dog. They think all dogs are bad, okay? But they're not, all right? You know the story. Some of you have been here long enough. Went to visit Solwezi, stayed in a wonderful bishop's home. He fed me sausage and Nshima and rape. Wonderful meal. Well, there was something wrong with the sausage. Solwezi sausage. So I decided I will never eat Zambian sausage. So for about 7-8 years, I had no sausage, all right? But the problem wasn't sausage, it was that sausage. Okay, so there's good sausage and bad sausage. So at Miracle Life, get involved with people. Reintroduce yourself. Don't be afraid of people. And that maybe, you know, there might be females in this building, and you had a bad experience with a guy, whether you were dating him or married to him or something. There was an incredible amount of pain. And so what you've determined is that half of the world's population, 3.5 billion people, are males. And you say, those are bad, bad guys. I'm not going to relate to men. Well, a certain percentage of them are bad. But there's a whole bunch of them that are good. Come on, male. I need men amens right there. Amen. Stand up for yourself, guys. Come on. All right. So, if we've been hurt, it doesn't mean that we withdraw or we isolate or go live on a mountaintop. God wants us to be together. Look at Ecclesiastes, and this is one of my favorite portions of Scripture when it comes to the benefit of relationship and also the what are going to be the consequences of not being in relationship. Ecclesiastes 4, verse 7. I observed yet another example of something meaningless under the sun. This is the case of a man who is all alone, without a child or a brother, yet who works hard to gain as much wealth as he can. But then he asks himself, who am I working for? Why am I giving up so much pleasure now? It is all so meaningless and depressing. So even success without people to share it with, it's not that much fun. All right. If you're a Chelsea fan, I hope you didn't watch the game by yourself last night. All right. So I didn't know there were so many Chelsea fans until this morning. Okay, but you're out there. Okay, God bless you. Verse 9. Two people are better than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one fails, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. All right, so in this passage, we see that there being together, there is help to help you succeed. All right, teamwork. There is nothing really of significance that happens in the world that doesn't happen through a group of people. And when you look around Miracle Life and all the things that God has helped Miracle Life accomplish, I can point you to a team that made that possible. Not a person. All right. I remember one time Pastor Haley and I were driving to church and we had a visitor with us. And they'd come to speak at the ladies' conference at Living Free. And we kind of came on the campus. And she said, oh, my goodness, wow, look at this campus. How did you do this? And I said, that's the thing. We didn't do this. We didn't do this. There are teams that did that and teams that did this. And, you know, we're able to minister to people online because there's a team that is doing that. I don't even know what they're doing. I just know that they're doing it. Thank you that you're doing it. Good to see you on YouTube. All right. So teams work and they work together. We're going to get more accomplished together. All right. It also says that life is not if you fall, but it's when you fall, when you stumble. If you stumble and you're alone, no one is there to help you get up. Oh, but we need friends who are going to help us get up. Who are people who will not allow us to stay down. My wife and I have been having some family challenges of what we're there to help and to be a blessing with our parents and things like that. And my goodness, and I'm so thankful for her and some of my siblings because there were days where I was down and they didn't let me stay down. Days where I stumbled and they didn't let me stay down. All right. We also see that there's warmth, and I don't mean that, you know, there's an example here of being cold alone, but I really believe it's talking about emotional warmth, meaning that you can't produce that on your own. You need someone else and people and a group and friends, the body of Christ, that will help you to be warm in life because of what's produced together. There's power when you're attacked. All right, when the enemy attacks, and we do have an enemy. And thank God that we have the armor of God, Ephesians chapter 6. But when you understand the armor of God, that armor was designed to work with the soldier that was next to you. It's my shield of faith and your shield of faith next to each other, and we're untouchable. All right? And as we march together as a group, a soldier doesn't... How many know soldiers don't fight alone? Okay, Rambo's a cool movie, but it's not real. Okay? And we have strength to hold up under pressure. You know, the rope, the three-strand rope, a rope is meant to bear a load. And there's things in life you will never bear together unless you have other strands that are together with you. Okay? So, we have to rethink what is the Church of Jesus. It's more than just ceremony or liturgy or a place where we download knowledge or a place where we go to have like a Christian worship concert and have all the feels. All right? It's a place where we are together. All right? So, let's look at some scriptures today of what happens and what God wants to happen when we are together. All right. One thing that happens, first of all, is we receive comfort and help. Comfort and help. Now, it's interesting we say comfort and help because that is really, those are two of the names of God. God, the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I will send you a comforter, a helper. All right. And so there might be some people say, well, I don't need people. I have the Holy Spirit. Yes, you do. All right. But where does the Holy Spirit live? He doesn't live in a temple made by hands. He doesn't live in heaven. He lives on the earth, and he lives on the earth inside of other believers. We are containers or carriers of God's Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit in you wants to comfort and help me. But the fact is, it's only going to happen when we're together, when we're relating to one another. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 6. This is a very wonderful scripture, but it's also very interesting when we understand what Paul is saying. 2 Corinthians 7:6. Nevertheless, God, who comforts the downcast. Okay, that would be a correct statement, correct? God comforts. God comforts. He is the comforter. Comforted us by the coming of Titus. So God comforts, but in this case, how did God comfort Paul? Through another believer. Through another believer. Well, but Paul's a super mega awesome apostle. Well, that's actually not how he saw himself. All right. But it was through another believer who came physically in Paul's presence who delivered the comfort of God. Verse 7. And not only by his coming, but also by the consolation with which he was comforted in you when he told us of your earnest desire, your mourning, your zeal for me, so that I rejoiced even more. Paul knew the comforter, the Holy Spirit, but he didn't receive the comfort of the Holy Spirit on top of a mountain by himself praying in other tongues. Now, Paul prayed in other tongues more than anybody, and we should too, and thank God for that. But there's a side, there's a way that God is going to deliver comfort and help through other people. Secondly, we're going to receive counsel. All right, how do we make good decisions in life? How do we make good decisions? A lot of our life, a huge part of our life, is the sum of the decisions that we've made in our past. When Tim and Hannah had their second marriage ceremony that was on a Sunday the 16th. 2 days later, Pastor Hale and I celebrated our 30th wedding anniversary. And we were so thankful. But looking back, that was a good decision. That was a good decision I believe we both made to marry each other. It was a good decision to stay married. It was a good decision to fix the marriage when it was broken. All right? And so we make decisions in life, don't we? But many of our decisions are not made alone. We get help making those decisions. And who is going to help us? God wants us to get help from other smart biblical believers, the counsel of the godly, to make good decisions. Proverbs 11:14. But where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. There is safety. If I look back, just for me, serving at Miracle Life Family Church for the last 17 years, and if I look back and say, Walker, you know, what are the top 10 bad decisions you've made? There's one common denominator. It wasn't that I didn't pray enough. It was that I did not listen enough to other people. That's just me, right? Maybe your story is different. But had I listened or sought counsel, in fact, there were already answers on the earth that I didn't tap into. Okay? There is, with the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Psalm 1:1. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers. Okay? The quality of the counsel that you are going to get is going to be based on the quality of the person that you're listening to. Okay? Make sure you're listening to godly people. All right? What else can we see that God wants to do in our life when we're with other believers? Another aspect is grace, God's grace. So God's grace, we can look at it from, there are different types of grace, but one great definition of grace is God's power that enables us to do what we can't do in our natural human strength. All right, so it's God's ability that helps us to do, to be able to be a Christian, to be able to perform certain tasks, to be involved in certain types of ministry. So it's God's grace, all right? But there is grace that, again, that God delivers to us through other people. Ephesians 3:2, Paul said this to different churches, but here's one in Ephesus where he said this. He said, "If indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you." So I believe there's grace that God gives to Walker for Walker. And I appreciate that. But there's also grace that God gives to Walker for you. And there's grace that God gives to you for Walker. All right? There's grace in other people that help us to become and to do. I hope you've experienced that in life. Oh my goodness, what a marvelous, marvelous thing that is. Okay? And so what this means is that if there's grace in people that's going to help me to do, but I'm disconnected from them because they looked at me funny. Or they didn't invite me to their birthday party. Well, I'll show them. Some people, they don't appreciate greatness when they see it. All right? Stop being so petty. Please grow up. Let's grow up in Jesus. All right? But if I get disconnected from people who have grace for me, it's not God's fault. It's not an attack of the devil. It's that I have not connected to the people who have grace for me. Oh, and my wife and I can give you testimony after testimony after testimony of places where we've struggled in life or looked for answers, and then there's a coffee, there's a dinner meeting, there's a chat with someone, and all of a sudden, boom, there it is. There it is, right there. Or something that they say carries grace and power to help us to do. All right? Another thing that helps us when we are connected to each other is that we have role models. Role models, people to look up to. All right? 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Follow my example, Paul says, as I'm following Jesus. All right, so when you are in a connection group, when you are serving on a life team at Miracle Life, there are going to be people who are following Jesus, and you can follow their example. You can follow their example. This is in the context of believers, but you remember that scripture that says, let the older women teach the younger women. All right, and I know that's a Zambian concept. All right, and that's a good concept if the older women are believers. If the older women are not believers, don't listen to the older women. You are sitting in the council of the ungodly. Hello? Glad you came to church. Glad you're watching on church today. All right. But you've got to have people in your life that have experienced life more than you have. They have already faced lions and bears and Goliaths, and they can tell you how to slay those things. There are things that all of us do for the first time in our life all the time. And we need people who have gone ahead of us, who have gone in front of us. And so that's why God, we have to be linked generationally to each other. All right? And we can't get mad at every 15-year-old young lady who has blue hair or purple hair or red hair. How many know the hair? They just keep changing the hair colors, right? When I was a little kid, we weren't allowed to wear hair. And they allow it in the church and impact. Right? What's the big deal? It's a color that God made. It's blue, all right? My hair is not blue, but God bless them for blue hair, okay? But when we unhook generationally, then the younger generation has no role models. All they have are people screaming at them. We've got to be close enough relationally to honor each other and to follow and to teach and instruct. Amen? All right. Healing. God wants us to get fixed and whole and helped. And many times that happens through relationships. James 5:16. Confess your trespasses to one another. Pray for one another. That you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Message Bible puts it this way. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you can live together whole and healed. Whole and healed. It happens in the context of a relationship with another believer, with another person who loves Jesus. All right? And then we also see that God calls us to care for one another. This is the highest, the greatest commandment. The Bible says, John 15:12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Right? Jesus love. Agape love. And so then that love that we receive from Him then flows to us from Him, but then it flows from us to each other. All right? And so we love one another. And the Bible says in Romans 13:10 that this is how we begin to make decisions in life. All right? Romans 13:10 is talking about, the preceding verse is talking about the different types of the Ten Commandments that were how we were to treat one another. Don't covet, don't commit adultery, don't steal, those things are those relational rules. Then Paul says in the new covenant, it's summed up like this. Romans 13:10, love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Meaning, if I love you, I'm not going to commit adultery with your wife. Why would I do that? I can't. That would be stepping out of love. It would be stepping out of love to my wife and the covenant that I made to her. So it's not just about 500 rules, but it's that the love of God reigns in my heart and it affects how I make decisions. All right? So for me, as a pastor and as a leader, well, you know, I've got to express my freedom in taking tequila shots and walking like Johnny Walker, red label, black label, blue label, right? Me, what I want. No, wait a second. It's not about me drinking. How is that going to affect you? How will that help you follow Jesus? So my decisions go through the funnel of, is this going to hurt my neighbor? How will this affect my marriage? How will this affect my children? My witness for Jesus. Do you see that? So it takes it to a much higher level in the new covenant. Okay, will my freedom harm someone else? And one way that I can kind of tell that is, again, if I'm in a community of believers, if I'm in people who know me, and I'm talking, I can see how my life and my ethics are going to impact and touch their life. And hopefully for good, because the love of God is reigning. Now, I want to kind of take a side journey right here. And this is the main focus of what we've been talking about, and what we want you to leave today with is be in a connection group, and again, not just that your name is there, but that you are committed to it. There are people that can count on you, and you are there, you are present. It is a priority in your life. It's more important than your favorite TV show. Okay, we've got people now because of travel and whatever, man, they when they're on duty somewhere else in the country, they still log on to their Zoom call, and because they're committed to their connection group. So that's what we want to take you to take away with today. Okay, but here's the side journey. I want to discuss, and I want you to think about the COVID vaccine in light of loving your neighbor. Loving your neighbor, okay? So, lots of Christian thought has gone on around this. If you watch Christian TV or you get somebody sends you YouTubes, you've probably heard by now that maybe the COVID vaccine is the mark of the beast. In that, and here's the logic, is that the mark of the beast in the book of Revelation says if you don't have it, then you won't be able to buy and sell. You'll be cut off from trading without the mark of the beast. And so there's some people saying, well, you know, there's talks of if you don't have COVID vaccine, you won't be able to go to ShopRite. Well, how many of you know that hasn't happened? It doesn't seem like that is happening, all right? To me, it doesn't biblically take that test, because the mark of the beast in the book of Revelation, you know you're getting it. You're swearing allegiance to a person called the Antichrist, all right? I don't think there's one person that's asking you to take the COVID vaccine that's the Antichrist, okay? I don't see it, all right? There seems to be no evidence that there is a chip that is getting implanted in your body. There seems to be no evidence that people are going to track you because of a secret chip that's in your... Again, those are Christian charismatic rumors. There seems to be no evidence to that whatsoever, okay? But here is where people really are affected, is to think, okay, but is this going to affect my health? All right, am I going to be able to have kids? A lot of younger people are thinking about that. Will this, both for as a female, will this affect my ability to get pregnant or to breastfeed? And as a male, will this affect my ability to procreate as a future husband one day? All right, and so people are thinking about these things. And they're affected. Now, as I was kind of contemplating on this, and again, please hear me out. What I'm talking about today is for you. It's for the context of Miracle Life Family Church. This is a pastoral message, this little part. I am not trying to get into a fight with a Nigerian preacher. Okay? I know a Nigerian preacher that preaches about some of this. I really appreciate some of the things he has to say. I respect him as a man of God. I'm not trying to pick a fight with him. If he gets this YouTube, God bless you. I love you, Pastor Blank. I really do. This is for you as Miracle Life people. That's the context of this message today. All right. But let's ask ourselves, should people in Africa be concerned about things that are somewhat, you could say, given to them or introduced to them by what we say the West? All right. Is there any historical reason to believe that the West maybe has it out for Africa? Yes. You ever heard of something called slavery? That has ruined the lives of people for centuries, and we're still dealing with those implications? Colonization that happened virtually on every nation on the African continent. Both systems were meant to exploit people for the benefit of the few, of the powerful. So if you're sitting in Zambia and thinking, well, the West wants me to do that, you know, they've got 300 years and I can tell they really love me. No, there hasn't been 300 years of love. Is there reason to be doubtful? Yes, there's reason to be doubtful. All right. Is this the same, really is the question, isn't it? Is this the same system that has been hurtful or harmful to my relatives and to people that I know? All right. So that, I think that's a question. All right. What I do know is that wherever man has meant for evil, God can turn for good. God can turn for good. And it's very, very interesting that Africa now, spiritually, is the powerhouse spiritually in the church to bless back to nations that were not blessing them 200 years ago. There are entire denominations in the world today that are being kept alive by African faith and African belief in the Bible. Those denominations would be dead today if it wasn't for the faith that was alive on, that's alive on this continent. Okay, so yes, the past has happened, but let's talk about today. All right. So can we ask a question? What about God and medicine? Because if God is a healer, maybe I don't need the vaccine. I'll just trust God. I saw a pastor that said this, Jesus is my vaccine. Okay, Jesus is a lot of things, but he's not your vaccine. Okay, think about this verse here, 1 Timothy 5:23. I want you to think about this verse. No longer, this is Paul speaking to Timothy, who is a pastor, he's a spiritually mature believer. No longer drink only water, but use a little wine for your stomach's sake and your frequent infirmities. Okay, this is not social drinking. Okay, this is not social drinking. This is not you going out for Wednesday wine day. Okay, Chardonnay with the girls. Okay, take wine for your stomach's sake. Okay, here's what the Bible is saying. The Bible is saying, introduce something into your body for medical reasons. Introduce something from the outside to the inside, because once you receive it, it will help fight off germs and disease. Is that what it's saying? It's absolutely saying that. And here's the thing. Wine is not something that is naturally produced. Okay, you don't go pick a wine fruit. Okay, it's concocted, it is made to have certain properties, and then it's introduced. Okay, so this was very basic science and medicine 2,000 years ago. But I believe that what God is saying, that I want you at times to bring things into your body that will have health benefits. Do you know that some of the Levitical laws in the Torah about washing, and if you have leprosy, go outside of the camp, and if this happens, dig a hole, put it under the hole, and stay away for 14 days. Those were health regulations that were far beyond their time. They were not gathered from other nations. They were given by God, by Yahweh, to his people to keep them healthy. But it wasn't just to keep them healthy. It was to keep each other healthy. God knew that certain diseases would be spread person to person, or through hugging, or through kissing, or through eating together, or through not washing properly. God was way ahead of his time. Now here's what I think and I see there is that, how many know God healed supernaturally under the old covenant? He is Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals you, and at the same time, he's the God who gives you health regulations. It's not either or. It's not Jesus is my vaccine. Jesus is my Savior, he's my healer, and I am thankful that a bunch of smart people figured out how to keep me safe from COVID. And so that's why my wife and I got vaccinated. That's why our board chair got vaccinated. And our previous board chair got vaccinated. And the board chair before that got vaccinated. And a ton of our staff at Miracle Life have been vaccinated. We haven't made them or mandated. It's a personal decision. Okay? But it keeps us safe. And I also think it helps me loving you. I am a very low risk COVID spreader now towards you. Okay, and when I'm with my mom and I can kiss her now, I like that because I'm not going to give her something. She's 82 years old. She's not exactly, strong in health, but I don't have to worry that I'm going to introduce something to her life that's going to hurt her that maybe I picked up accidentally. Okay, so what I'm asking you to do is I'm asking you to reconsider your decision about getting vaccinated. And I know a ton of people at Miracle Life have, but if you've decided not to, I'm asking you to, I wouldn't say just prayerfully reconsider it, mindfully reconsider it. Think about the scriptures. Think about the things that have been presented. All right. Now, I just want to read this, and I think the best way is just to quote Dr. Roma Chilenge, our board chair, who is also an epidemiologist. And I asked him just some of his thoughts this week. All right. And he's been involved in this space for the last 20 years. All right. Dr. Roma Chilenge, that is not a name from the UK. All right. He's not a colonial oppressor. Okay. He is a true blooded Zambian. All right. But so I just asked him, I said, why would it be helpful? Why would the vaccine be helpful? And he said this: given the characteristics of COVID, I believe that the vaccine is the most effective intervention that will limit transmission. Other available recommendations like masking and social distancing are not sufficient, particularly that they depend on human behavior. Precedence has it that other historical infectious diseases have been controlled and some eliminated, like polio and smallpox and many others. Okay? I asked him, I said, well, what do you think about the safety of the vaccine? Is it going to be harmful? Will it make men impotent? Will it make ladies not be able to have children? And he said, on vaccine safety, it's important for us to understand there is no medicinal intervention that has no adverse effects. We also always consider the risk-benefit ratio. While technology has allowed COVID vaccine development to be done quickly, no regulatory shortcuts have been done. In fact, no other vaccine has ever been developed and deployed under such intense public scrutiny, aided by uncontrolled social media. I've been working in the vaccine space for 20 years now. Have you? I haven't. And he didn't say that. I said that. Okay. This is back to Dr. Roma here. And everything I know about vaccines was learned similarly. I have no reasons to believe COVID vaccines are deleterious. I said, what does that mean? He says, bad. All right. The system works such that if truly the vaccine is unsafe, we will know and appropriately withdraw it from use as soon as evidence is available. There are more tools and technologies now than ever before to help us accurately detect problems. So I am very comfortable as a practitioner to unreservedly recommend COVID vaccines. My family and I have been vaccinated. End of quote. All right. My family and I have been vaccinated. All right. What does the Bible say? Love does no harm. to its neighbor. All right, so please don't let anyone leave Miracle Life today and say, well, Pastor Walker says you've got to be saved to get vaccinated. Jesus and vaccines. No. I'm saying mindfully and biblically reconsider your decision. Okay. I know there's some young men that say, well, no, if I get the vaccine, I won't be able to father children. I know this is a mixed crowd. I'd use different language if this was the Brave Men's Conference. But, you know, they said, I won't be able to perform. Well, there's no medical evidence that says that about vaccines. Now, here is the deal. Those who have been COVID positive have 6 times higher rates of some male problems. 6 times higher. So if you're a male and you're concerned about that, you should be the first one in line for the COVID vaccine. Sign me up. Keep me strong. Okay. I hope that was okay for a mixed crowd here. All right. Love does no harm to its neighbor. So let's wrap this up. Our spiritual life is a team effort. It's a team activity. All right. We get saved individually, but then we are introduced into the family of God, into the people of God. We're part of a group that identifies with Jesus Christ. You know, if you think about it, when the Bible was written, and especially the epistles that were written to New Testament believers, do you know that most of the epistles were not written to a person? Just a few were, Timothy, Titus. But most of the epistles were written to the church at Ephesus, to the church at Philippi. And now, sometimes when we read it, we feel like, oh, that's my verse. That's my promise, right? It's not my verse. It's our verse. It's our promises. They were written to groups of people together and collectively. And even the promises of God, we should be experiencing those together as a church family. God called us to live life with other believers. So at Miracle Life, what is the quickest, the easiest step for you to experience that is in a connection group. Now, let me say this again. You could say, well, you know, Pastor, I tried a connection group 8 years ago, and it was not really what I was looking for. Well, try again. All right? There's no mandate or law here at Miracle Life that says you have to be in this one or that one. But find your people. Find a group that works with your time schedule. That perhaps is what, if you are unmarried or if you're married, whatever works for you with kids. I know Pastor Haley and I, when we had little kids, it was hard for us to find a group when we lived in South Africa that could accommodate us. But we made it work for us, all right? In fact, we kind of created our own groups, okay? But it is important. It's vital. It's part of God's plan for your life to be connected with other believers. All right, so we are commissioning you in Jesus' name to get signed up. And not just signed up, but to show up and to be a part of other people's lives in the body of Christ. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word, and may it have the effect that you intended for it to have, that it would produce 30, 60, 100-fold. Father, I'm so thankful that, Lord, there was a time in my life as a believer that I didn't believe some of these things, God. I didn't believe and walk in the great, rich benefit and fruit of being connected with other believers. And God, I am so thankful that those days are in my past. Lord, thank you for helping me to believe and to act and to do and to have brothers and sisters in my life who encourage me and pray for me and to help me to be a better man, be a better husband. Father, may this be the experience of every person under the sound of my voice. Lord, if they're in this auditorium, if they're participating in this service online, Father, I pray in Jesus' name, may we be connected. Lord, may we not give up on your plan for our life that includes other people. Lord, as we have received, may we give it away in Jesus' name. With every head bowed and every eye closed, today was very much, you could say, a family message. It was a message for people in the body of Christ. And you may be here today, you may be participating online, and you say, Pastor Walker, if I'm honest with my heart, I'm not a member of the family of God. And let me say this, you'd know it if you were. See, I went to a church as a young person, and while they never said this, but this is what I believed, is that I really thought I was part of God's family because my parents brought me to be baptized when I was 3 months old. And I understand their heart, that they wanted me to follow and be a Christian, but it didn't do anything to me. It didn't make me born again. It didn't make me love Jesus. Jesus, one time, was talking to a man named Nicodemus, who was very, very religious. I would say more religious than anybody here today. And he was a decent guy in certain aspects, but he said, you must be born again. There has to be a change on the inside. You see, all of us, when we were born into this world, we were born into the family of sin, separated from God. Because of Adam and because of us. But God didn't want it to stay that way. So he sent his only begotten son, his only son, Jesus. And he died a cruel and inhumane death. He became our sin substitute. When Jesus died on the cross, God poured out his wrath on his own son so that you would never have to know what that feels like. You never have to experience that now or for all of eternity. But here's the thing. You have to accept that gift. It was a gift of love given to you. But now God gives you a choice. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And again, that doesn't happen at infant baptism. It doesn't happen because you went to a class or you came to church. It happens when you call upon the name of Jesus. Jesus, save me. Jesus, forgive me. Jesus, I follow you. Call upon his name today. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I did that, but I have not walked that way. In fact, I've turned my back on God. Like the prodigal son in Luke 15, I've walked away from my father's house. But guess what? There's a father who loves you. There's a father who has not forgotten you. Come home today. Come home to a father who restores and cleanses and makes things new. If that's you, we're going to pray today. And if you're here in this auditorium, we're going to pray together. If you are participating online, we are going to pray together. And what I'm going to ask you to do right now, if you're here physically, no one is looking around, but if you say, I need to be born again, I need to come home to Jesus, what I want you to do right now is lift up your hand real, real high, wave it at me. Wave it at me. Say, Pastor, that's me. I need to be born again. I'm like Nicodemus. I'm like this lost son. I need to come home. Say, that's me. I want to be born again. Thank you so much. God bless you. Who will join this one and say, that's me. I'm going to follow Jesus. Thank you. God bless you, sir. Over here in the back. Thank you. Wonderful. Wonderful. Anybody else? Anybody else? If you're watching online, here's what we ask you to do. You're making this decision. You're following Jesus. If you're on Facebook, just say, I'm following Jesus. I'm receiving him. Type that in the comments. If you're watching on YouTube, there's a number on the screen. Send that number a WhatsApp, a text. We want to connect with you. All right. Those of you in the auditorium, would you just rise to your feet right now? Let's all stand to our feet as we pray with these who have raised their hands. Here's what we're going to ask you to do. Take a next step. Those who've lifted up your hand and say, I want to be born again. I want to follow Jesus. One of the things that the Bible talks about is to confess him, to speak of him, to pray. And I want to lead you in a prayer. And I want to be able to just be involved in your life right now. And so I'm going to ask you to get your handbag, your Bible, whatever you came to church with, and come and meet me up front. Just come and meet me up front. We're going to pray together. God is going to do a miracle in your life today. Let's give these folks a big, big hand clap as they're coming.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Maybe you did not lift your hand. Maybe you did not lift your hand, but now you're realizing, I need to get saved. I need to follow Jesus. This is my destiny. This is my day of salvation. Just come right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you. Thank you for your courage. Thank you for your stand of faith, taking these steps with Jesus. We are so, so thankful. All right. Would you just do this with me? Just lift up your hand towards heaven right now. Just come, just come. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. Oh, for the Lord is good. The Lord is good. Just lift up your hand right now. Those of you that are watching online, just pray this prayer. Just bow your head wherever you are right now. Pray with these folks, and we're going to trust God's going to do a work in your life. Just say this with me right now. Say, God, just say it out loud. Say, God, I believe you sent Jesus to die in my place. He lived a perfect life, and yet he died for me. You raised him from the dead. I believe that. And I confess him as my Lord and as my Savior. Jesus, forgive me. Wash and cleanse me. I follow you now for the rest of my days. You are my Savior. You are my Lord. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. Oh, what a wonderful, glorious day. Wonderful. Those of you that have come, would you just turn and look? There's a young lady, Bupe. Just wave your hand. We're going to go to a place of prayer. Would you just follow us right there? We want to give you a book. We want to make sure that you're going to take some great steps with Jesus. God bless you. Wonderful. Congregation, you can have a seat. If you prayed that prayer online, again, please give us the opportunity. We want to be involved in your life. Maybe you're not from Lusaka. We want to help you to find a wonderful Bible-believing church, a group of believers where you can have family, where you can have community. And if you're in Lusaka, you are most welcome to be a part of this body of believers as well. So, as we get ready to go today, so that we're not passing around buckets, but we're going to receive today's tithes and offerings. Thank you so much for your faithfulness. This is one of the things that we do as a church family that truly is, we do this together. Every person does their part. And, you know, Jesus, when he was watching this older woman at the temple, and she was giving what visibly looked like a small amount of money, it was a huge sacrifice to her, and he watched it and he noted it. And I believe that Jesus, it's not certainly not the only thing that he watches, but I believe he is 100% aware of our giving. And while it may be private to us and we don't publicly talk about your giving here at Miracle Life, but the Bible says we give tithes, but our high priest Jesus in heaven, there he receives them. And so while this seems like a natural thing and the money stays here on the earth, it's a very spiritual thing that we do. And we do it from our heart and we do it as an act of worship. And that's why it's part of our worship service is our giving to God. And so we invite you, if you need an offering envelope, the ushers will serve you now. We are finishing strong with our building campaign, paying off our debt, getting the rest of the things that we need to do with that, and continuing to serve each other and to serve our world and our community by being a great, great blessing. All right, so we're going to pray over this offering. As we're dismissed, we'll be dismissed from the back to the front. But also please be aware that as we are dismissed today, there's a group of people up front, our care team, and they would love to be able to pray with you. There are certain things that we face, and thank God we can trust God and we can pray and he hears us. But we also see in the Bible to pray for one another. Confess your faults to one another. Involve other people in the battles that you're facing. So whatever you're facing,
a struggle or a problem, maybe there's a sickness in your body, if you would allow our prayer team to pray for you, our care team, they would so appreciate having that honor to be able to be involved in your life. All right, let's pray as we go. Father, thank you so much in Jesus' name for your goodness, your kindness towards us. Lord, we love you and thank you that you have called us to be connected to each other. And Father, where there has been hurt or disappointment, Father, thank you that there's healing. Lord, thank you that there will be new relationships that will teach us that we can trust one another. We can believe in believers and that we can find the joy and the warmth and the comfort and the counsel and all of the scriptural benefits, Lord, with the people that you've brought into our lives. We love you so much. We bless you, Lord, and thank you for your goodness and your blessing on this offering as we go today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. We love you. You are dismissed from the back to the front, and we'll see you next week. God bless you.